So, before we start, I got to introduce my brother in Christ. So, Ray, it's just an honor to see you. So, for those of you who can see, the guy, are you wearing glasses, Ray? I can't even see that well. My eyes are getting bad. I need glasses.
Yes, I'm
Yeah,
wearing
okay,
glasses now.
there's Raymond. So this is one of my best friends from the United States. My partner in Jesus Christ. We have taught the word together side by side. We've evangelized together. We've done the work of the Lord together, in churches, out of churches, all over the place. And it's just an honor to have you on here tonight. So, group, this is Brother Raymond, and just give him a hearty welcome here.
Hello, Brother Raymond.
Welcome,
Hi.
Raymond.
Welcome, Raymond.
Welcome, Raymond.
Thank you so much. It's a
You're
really
welcome.
big privilege to
Whatever's
be
got
here
you.
with you all.
So the group that we have tonight, brother, is actually it's kind of an eclectic group. We got a mix of all over. So we've got people that I've met through the Fish and Bread Ministries, which is the ministry that reaches out to the homeless. I'd say the chief being Brother Diavolt and his wife Marty. They're not showing themselves right now, but he's actually the one who started the ministry with another brother in Christ, and he's just got a huge heart for the Lord, loves Jesus Christ. There they are. And so for those of you just signed on, my friend from the States, who I haven't seen in a long time, it's been over 3 years, so he's joining us tonight. Just tell you a little bit about Ray. Ray loves the Lord with all his heart. Ray was raised in a family where they were taught to read and cherish the Word of God from their youth. And Ray, everybody grows up in a certain camp. We all grow up in certain denominations or camps or whatever if you're raised a Christian. But one thing I love about Ray is, he does not read the scriptures through any lens of a denomination or a camp. He just reads it purely for what it is. And one of the things about Ray is just really fresh insight into the word. Some of the stuff the Lord teaches him are just wonderful. It's just fresh, it's pure, it's good. So yeah, that's our brother, and he's with us tonight, so it's a blessing having you. So as I was going, I'm just going around in introducing. So like I said, most are from the Fish and Bread. We've also got Brother James from Zimbabwe. I just met James when I went to Zimbabwe in December. My family and I went up, and we spent about 4 days with his family, and just they were just a real blessing to get to meet them, get to know them, and get to learn some more of the history of the country. So Brother James is with us, and he also spent time in the Word. You can tell he spent time in the Word. He has a heart for the things of the Lord, and appreciate just the relationship that we've formed in just about a month or so. And yeah, and then we got someone from the church that Hannah and I go to on Sundays. Bradley, he's on here tonight, so we got a little bit of a mixed group. But you know what? We're all one in Jesus Christ. There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no male or female. There's no Baptist or Methodist or charismatic or whatever. We're all one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are commanded by the Lord to follow after righteousness and faith and charity and all those things with those who have called on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so it doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. Anybody who's called on the name of the Lord Jesus out of a pure heart, those are the people that we're supposed to be gathering together with, encouraging one another, continuing in the faith, correcting one another, holding each other accountable, praying one for another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's what we do by God's grace. So I just before we get into our study tonight, I was just praying before, just saying, Lord, what are some of the things you want to say to your body tonight? And just sat down and just wrote these things out. So I'll just share. So the first thing is repentance. You know, the world's been in this lockdown, and in one sense, it's been bad for a lot of people, and it's been hard on a lot of people. But in another sense, I see God is really using this to do some important work within his people, first and foremost, and then from there into gathering the lost sheep and calling the lost in. So this is actually like a really vital time in history, and we get to live in it, and we do not want to miss this opportunity. I've seen God work in ways beyond what I've ever experienced before during this lockdown. I've seen him do mighty things outside, out in ministry, but then also within my own heart, within my own spirit, things that he's breaking down, refining, purifying. And the first step in everything is always repentance, just laying ourselves before the Lord and just confessing, repenting, asking him to show us what are those things that are still hindering us from really walking in his spirit in that perfect union that he desires, and just confessing and repenting. So that's the first thing. The second thing is correction. The body of Christ needs to change its spirit when it comes to correction. And what I mean by that is the world despises correction. Lost people despise correction. Natural children, they hate correction. They take it personally. They get offended. They think you're attacking them. We cannot be children anymore when it comes to correction. We need to receive correction gladly, with thankful hearts. When God corrects us, when a brother in Christ corrects us, we need to see that as a blessing. It's not a personal offense. It's not an attack on any personal attributes. It's an opportunity to do better. It's an opportunity to shine brighter. You know, let's see it for what it is. We need to love and embrace correction. Jesus Christ said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." That's what Jesus says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And rebuke is the hardest form of correction. And you know what? Be zealous and repent. The third thing is realignment. The Lord is trying to realign the body of Christ into its proper place and realign its members into their proper places. This is so important. You know, if my back is out of alignment, I am so hindered in what I'm able to do. If my hand is out of joint or my elbow's out of joint, you know, it hinders the work that I have to do. And many of us for years have been out of place, maybe good hearts, maybe sincere, maybe trying, but out of alignment. And I just sense there's a realignment that the Lord is doing in his body. And this is both on an individual level. It's both in families, realigning families to be proper order, man, woman, children, things in their proper order, a realignment within churches, a realignment within our call to be true to our call. You know, it's so important. We can do lots of things. There's no shortage of work to do. But if we're not being true to what Jesus Christ has called us to and what he's equipped us for, you know, what are we doing? And so there's a realignment happening, and it's good. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you have to face fears, and it's not pleasant initially. You know, you go to the chiropractor, and if your back's shot, it's rough the first few times. But by God's grace, it gets better. And once you're in your proper position, and this is the fourth thing that he put in my heart, is positioning. Once we're in the proper position, and we are positioned properly, then we can do what we are called to do, what we need to do, what both the body of Christ needs us to do and what the lost needs us to do. And this positioning is important. We need to, and this is why, like, you know, Lord, show us, what are we? Am I a nose? Am I an eye? Am I a mouth? Am I an ear? Am I a pinky finger? Am I a thumb? Am I a fist? You know, am I an elbow? Am I an ankle? What am I, a kidney? Am I, what part do I play? You know, hopefully we're not a kidney stone. You know, there's some of those in the body of Christ, and we're just trying to pass through and wait till they get out. You know, foreign objects in the body. But I'm saying, like, what are we? And we need to be positioned properly based on what we are in Jesus Christ, what He has set us to be. He sets the members as it pleases Him. And so this is something that I really sense the Lord has been doing. Obviously, He's been doing this for the last 2,000 years, but I'm saying in our generation, this last year, He is realigning and He's trying to get us in the right position. This is huge because as we move forward, I believe we're entering the last days. I really do. But even if we're not, dark days are coming ahead. And if we're not positioned properly, it's going to be a lot of unnecessary damage. And also just going to miss out on the things that the Lord would have us to fulfill for Him. The fifth thing is prayer and persistence in prayer. And this is something that I am learning. This has not been my strong point. My strong point has been more the Word, spending time with people, listening to people, counseling people, teaching the Word. But persistence in prayer has not been a strong point of mine. It's really unnatural to me, but I have to learn it, and the Lord's trying to teach it to me. And what I find is when I do persist in prayer, there's such a peace and a settledness and an authority and a power that I don't have otherwise. And again, it's not just about me, but this is about effectiveness. We want to be effective. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want our lives to matter. We want our days to count. We don't want to just be wasting time. We're commanded to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I just sense that God is really trying to bring us into that prayer and that persistence in prayer. And so that's the fifth thing. The sixth thing is trust and restoration. Trust. The Lord is teaching us to not only trust Him, and that's where it all starts. We have to trust Him with all our hearts. How to not put trust in our bank accounts, how to not put trust in our jobs, how to not put trust in our skills or our abilities, but to truly trust Him in everything. And in that, as we trust Him, He's restoring us, restoring our souls into what we are, what we're supposed to be. But also, I sense trying to build trust in each other. You know, we're for too long, especially the westernized body of Christ, has been so divided and fragmented, and, you know, everybody eyes one another and distrusts one another, and you can only get along to a certain point, but then, and it's like, that thing has to end. That thing has to end. We have to learn to trust each other. Not put our trust in each other. No, we're not God, we're not Christ, but to trust one another, to love one another. And I sense there's many relationships that the Lord wants to restore. But part of that is us learning to trust Him and then learning to trust one another, learning to literally sometimes put our lives in the hands of others and not hold on to our lives and not hold on to... again, it's easy to try to hold on to things and then it feels secure and safe. But sometimes we got to let go. We got to literally put ourselves in the hands of other people. And the last thing is faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Just, man, He's trying to grow us in true faith. Not just Bible faith. And what I mean by that is, and I want you to hear what I'm saying here. the Pharisees had Bible faith, but they didn't have real faith. What I mean by that is they go, oh, it's written in the Bible. We know it's true. You know, Moses said that. I know God spoke to Moses. Look at, he said it. You know, Moses, this is in the Bible. We believe it. And so they thought they had faith, and they claimed faith in the scriptures. And they'd search the scriptures and go, look, man, no prophet arises out of Galilee. But when a prophet, a man of God, was right in front of them in their day, named John the Baptist, they were like, we don't know who this guy is, you know, I'm not really trusting this guy. And that man was sent by God, as we read last week in John, and we're going to look at a little bit more again tonight. He was sent by God with a message from God for that nation in their day and in their hour, and they didn't really believe him. And then, even greater than that, the Word, the Creator, comes down, and they go, who is this guy? This guy's got a devil. He's a nut. Like, who's this guy think he is? So they thought they had faith. They had Bible faith. Yeah, we believe it. It's in the Bible. But they didn't have any real living faith for the day and hour in which they were living. And again, what you're going to find is true Bible faith will lead to true living faith. But there's a false Bible faith where there's people who go, we believe the Bible, we fight for the Bible, but they're not walking in the Spirit of Christ. They're not living by faith. They're not pleasing God. They're not. So they live a safe, comfortable, secure, selfish life, but we believe the Bible. But see, that's not real faith. And the Lord's trying to work real faith in his people. Call out a people unto himself who are living by faith. Because that's the only way to live, by the way. That's the only way to live, is by faith. And love. Love. We need love. We need to receive the love. Know that God loves us. To believe that he loves us, that he loves his children, and that he even loves the world and died for them. And to walk in this love. You know, Jesus said, this is how they'll know who my true disciples are, by the love you have one for another. Not by the debates that you can have, not by the positions that you hold, but by the love you have one for another. And everything we do needs to be rooted in faith and rooted in love. And out of that will spring hope. Out of that will spring hope. And to have real hope, you know, And hope is almost like, I see like two different kinds of hope. It's really one, but like two kinds of hope in this sense. Like, we need to have the eternal hope to know and believe and be persuaded that Jesus Christ will come back one day. He will split the sky and shoot from east to west, and every eye will behold him. And we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds in the air, and we will be with Jesus Christ forever. I mean, this thing is so real. It seems incredible. It seems like it's not credible. Like, how can this thing be real? It seems like a fairy tale, but it's real. We've experienced him. We know him. He's been with us. He's been there for us. This is so real. We need that hope, and we need to always keep that perspective. No matter what little things we're going through, no matter what current challenges, we need to keep that big picture hope to remember that in the end, we win with Jesus Christ. We win with Jesus Christ. But also, we need to maintain a practical hope for our lives that we're living. And realize that God formed us, God called us, God sanctified us, he's justified us, and he has a purpose for our lives that we can fulfill. And we need to live with that hope. And sometimes we get sidetracked, and sometimes we get distracted. But we need to maintain that focus that by the grace of God, we are not castaways. And that's by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be castaways. But we're not castaways. He's still with us. He loves us. He's working with us. And we can grow into the fullness of what he desires us to be and to fulfill for his glory. So I hope that helps. Just some things that I felt the Lord put in my heart to just share with you guys tonight. Again, we are his people. All of us, we're his people. We don't belong to a man. We don't belong to a movement. We belong to Jesus Christ, and he's the great shepherd.